Welcome. You're about to listen to a message from LifePoint, a warm, friendly, and vibrant community for the young at heart.
With joy, with meekness, with humility, we receive every gift. Scripture says that every good and precious gift comes from above. So today, Lord, we take delivery. We receive all that you have provided in abundant supply for us this morning. And we say thank you, our Father. Thank you, our God. Thank you, our Maker. Thank you, the lover of our souls. Thank you, the owner of our lives. For someone here, you have been equipped with what you don't even know that you need. Hallelujah. You have been gifted with what you are not even aware that you need. He has generously supplied, the one who does exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask, all that you think that you need. God has exceeded your expectation this morning. Would you go ahead and give him praise? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Please be seated in his presence. Amen. All right. In the time that we have, I think I have just one announcement before I go into the word. And it's that we are having, next week Sunday is the last Sunday of the month. And as usual practice, we will be having our unplugged conversations. Can we have the slide up? We have two amazing guests who will be joining us, multimedia. Yes. We're gonna be having Dr. Foy of Lagos and the popular Bumi George, J Booms. So you want to invite a friend. In fact, you want to invite several friends. It's going to be an explosive. If you know both of them, you know that they are deep. So it's going to be an explosive time. Just bringing practical, real-life experiences to covenant living. Amen. So get your questions ready. Before the end of service, I believe we will display the number that you can text your questions to. If you want to write it down, just drop it off at the info point desk as well. But please, we want questions. You know, they are coming to answer questions, so send in your questions. Amen. All right, Father, we thank you. We thank you. You are here already, and you have started your work. Thank you, because you have made our hearts fertile ground for the seeds of your word that will be sown. That's another gift you are gifting us today, is the gift of your word, the gift of instruction, the gift of clarity, the gift of precision and accuracy. And Lord, as your word comes in, it shatters every doubt, shatters and destroys every unbelief, making us complete, transforming us, making us more like you, doing an internal and an eternal work in righteousness. We thank you, our Father, that as your word comes forth, grace is ministered to every hearer. Grace to not only be a hearer, but also to be a doer of your word, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, so we started, beginning of this month, we started a new teaching series titled Level Up, The Covenant Way. And one of the things that sort of has been about our world is the fact that we don't exactly discuss the covenant as much in our generation. There's so many other things we talk about, which is why we feel the need to jump in on this teaching series that was started out by our mother church, the Elevation Church. And Pastor Ayoso, how many people were blessed last Sunday? Yes, he did an amazing work of introducing the new covenant, putting it side by side with the old covenant and showing us the benefits of the new covenant. And showing us, not only just exposing it to us, but also helping us understand how you and I can navigate our world, navigate a world that is filled with gross darkness, you know, by covenant living. A few things that came out of that message. One was the fact that he reminded us that we're a finished product in God's eyes. Essentially, everything it is that we need for life and for godliness, God has already equipped us with it. It's available in the covenant. We only need to take position. It says, before we came into the world, God already settled us. And if you don't know the word, then you won't know the great and precious promises already prepared for you. just to help someone who's joining us for the first time this month. A covenant is a formal partnership or a relationship between two people who make binding promises to each other and work together to reach a common goal. They are often accompanied, covenants are often accompanied by oaths, by signs, and by ceremonies. If you are Nigerian here and you do African magic, you would have seen examples of what covenants, how covenants are enacted in Africa. You know, there's a bit of shedding of blood. Somebody wants to marry somebody. Please, you all don't form bougie on me right now. How many people have seen those movies where somebody wants to marry somebody? They will take cola nuts and a razor blade. I always cringe because I'm like, how healthy is this? You know, but yes, at least for someone, that's your understanding of covenant. For another person, you are very, you know, all the way up there. You view covenant as a contract. Yeah, a contract, but it's not a contract. A contract is transactional. Covenant is relational. Amen. So God's covenant with man has always been at the instance of God. Multimedia, I believe I have slides. Yeah? It has always been at the instance of God. It has always been fueled by the love that God has. Yeah? For man. It's redemptive in its intention. The covenant that God enacts with us, it is redemptive. Okay? In its nature, and it's always aimed at including man in God's plan, in God's kingdom. Amen. Bringing us back into alignment with him. And so when you think about, if you're a student of scripture, when you run through scripture, you would see that from the onset, after man sinned, that's and broke that covenant relationship that existed, God has been in the business of restoring man back to himself. From the likes of Noah, you know, the kind of covenant he would enact with Noah. It was for preservation, to preserve the world. We swore to him after destroying the world with flood that I will not do this again. You know, and then you move on to Abraham. It was to initiate redemption. Moving on to Moses, it was to establish the nation of Israel, you know, as they were instrumental to the fulfillment of the ultimate redemption plan. You move on to David, where God had promised an eternal king through his lineage. And of course, when you get to Jesus, this is where the covenant is actualized. It's the climax of it. This is where God fulfills his covenant to you and I. The new covenant in Christ Jesus, thank you so much, is the highest. Sorry, excuse me, everyone, please. Please let me appreciate Kenneth and everyone who cares for me. Always looking out for my best interest. Thank you, guys. God bless you. All right, so covenants are about inclusion, not just transactions. Like I said earlier, compared with contracts, it's about joint life outcomes. It's not intended to leave both parties unchanged. So I'm taking my time to provide this background for anyone here, especially for those of us who are very logical. And it's great because God expects us to love him even with our logic. Engage me with your mind. So let me give a quick analogy again to help someone understand what covenant relationship looks like beyond just marriage. Because marriage is an example of a covenant relationship, especially marriage under God, where you take an oath. There's a ceremony and you're promising yourselves till death do us part. In our world today, we young people are not as patient anymore. We don't wait for death. We part ourselves because it's not working. Okay? But think about this. So, maybe I shouldn't use a name. I was going to use one of the guys here, my people. Let's call this person John Bull. Mr. John Bull, an immigrant, relocated to the U.S. And by some stroke of divine happenstance, the president of the United States decides that young John Bull, perhaps he came out here to pray the prayer, as we just prayed, and decided to go to the U.S. But says, guy, whatever it is you are doing, whatever you've done, you know, anyway, divine connection happens and John Bull gets an opportunity to have his education taken care of by the United States government. He has the option to go to any top Ivy League school. In fact, they selected for him. You can only, by reason of this association, you can only go to this 1, 2, 3 schools, okay? And it's not just for you. It's for your generations coming because of this thing that you have done. And so the president puts together a document, or a document is put together for him. He signs it, he seals it. It sort of becomes some sort of law that for this particular family, kind of like in the back in the days where in the medieval, well, not exactly medieval times, but there were times that they used to allocate land, something like that, and it just stays in your family for generations. Yeah, something like that is the analogy. That you didn't, there's no John Bull, you get the point, okay? And so he then has this document that is handed over to him, and it represents the agreement between the United States government and John Bull, and by extension, his children, you get the point. And a legal counsel is also then appointed for John Bull to help him understand parts of the agreement, because in that agreement, there are do's and don'ts. Are we together? There are do's and don'ts in that agreement. And so a legal counsel is appointed to John Bull, and by extension, his family, a firm is assigned to his family to help them understand the provisions of that agreement, to clarify the areas where they don't quite understand. John Bull goes to Harvard, applies to Harvard, applies to a choice school, and he's told that, oh, you can't be here. Can you afford the fees? And all of that stuff. John Bull simply just brings out the document that has been signed by the president. Are we together? Are you following my analogy? Brings out the document and shows it to, you know, the governing board of the school. I have this document that allows me be here. It is my right to be here, regardless of my migrant or whatever status. And so, of course, he starts his schooling. Fast forward, third generation. John Bull's grandson, or great-grandson, is in the U.S., but has no idea that such a thing exists in his family. Why? Because the document was not handed down from generation to generation. It kind of stopped. Maybe the last person I was supposed to hand it over to him just did not do a good job of explaining what benefits accrued to him. And so he wants to get an education and decides to go to where he can afford, to what his pocket can accommodate, which is a really low-level school in the U.S. I've used this analogy to help you and I understand where we as covenant children of God sometimes miss out on the benefits because we do not know the provisions of the covenant. We are not in that relationship. We have not kept alive that relationship. And so we start to hustle for the things that have been freely given to us. We start to cut corners for the things that have been freely given to us. Instead of sticking with the provisions of the covenant, and how, just as Pastor Ayo said last week, how do I know what has been provided for me? The legal document that was handed to John Bull, ratified by the President of the United States, is the word of God that has been given to you and I. In it, we understand the covenant provisions. In it, we understand our responsibility. In it, we see God's responsibility and his promises to us. The legal counsel that was appointed for John Bull is the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit is to break open the covenant to us, to expound it to us so we understand these provisions and we can begin to walk in the reality of it. So sometimes when you and I are crying and, you know, allowing the enemy just do us basbos, it is because we are lacking in understanding of who we are primarily. That we are children of the Most High God. That we are in a covenant relationship. And under the covenant, there are certain things that are not permitted to happen to us. There are certain things that we are expected to be able to overcome, even within the ambit of time. Are we together, family? So when you read scripture in Romans 8 from verse 28 to 32, the Message translation, let me give us an example of the content of this legal document. Can we have it up on screen, please? Or go ahead and open your devices. From verse 28, it says, "That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape." Can we read together? He decided, go on, "from the outset to shape." We're reading the Message translation, everyone. "To shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity he restored. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him." That's in the son, Jesus Christ. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. You and I have been called by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. So what do you think? With God on our side like this. Let's read that part together. With God on our side like this, how can we do? How can we lose? If God isn't, I'm wondering what's, is this Message? Brothers and sisters, we're on verses 31 to 39 now. Not, we are moved from here. Sings. Please. Okay, just read from your Bibles. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we what? Please let me tell the person seated beside. With God on your side, how can you lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't, can we read that last part together? Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? You see, because he has gifted us with the ultimate gift, is the gift of himself in his son. So what is it that ails you? That was why I was excited in my spirit, man, when God said, "I come bearing gifts." Because it is in his nature to freely give us all things. It is in his nature. And so there is a mindset you and I need to have as we journey, as we live the covenant life, that God always plays his part. It is up to you and I to play our part. It is up to you and I to stay and stick with the covenant. When you do not engage the provisions of the covenant, sometimes others can tell you about it, and that's okay. You come to church, any of the pastors gets up here and tells you the provisions of the covenant. That's okay. Sometimes others can show you what is in the covenant through Alpha, through Bible study. That's also great. But you see, where we need to get to is where you and I discover the provisions for ourselves. Where you and I sit with the word and it comes alive to us. And we are able to take that covenant provision. Scripture speaks about, how does that scripture go again, Holy Ghost? It says, "For there is one God and one mediator, Jesus. And his work is to reconcile God and man." When you understand the import of Jesus as the mediator of the new covenant, and you understand that everything it is that Jesus went to that cross for was to bring you and I back into alignment with the original design and intent on the Father's heart. And that should translate into every area of our lives, because once you are in alignment with him spiritually, it flows into every other aspect of your life. You begin to enjoy peace, ease, the things that everybody's chasing after. You know that it is a function of time. You know that in this covenant life, oh, it will surely come. It must come. Though it tarries, it will come. Because God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. He will speak to all these guys. Some of them didn't even see it. They didn't see the fulfillment of the promises. Abraham did not become a father of many nations in his own lifetime. He was in heaven when he says in Israel and seeing all the plenty children he has now. All of us are Father Abraham's children. Amen. But God always keeps his word. Help me tell someone, God always keeps his word. God always fulfills his end of the covenant. So two responses quickly as we wrap up. Two responses to the new covenant. Our response to the covenant is evidence that we are alive in that covenant. Same way when you think about stimulus. It's evidence that we are alive, right? How many of you did biology here? So our response to stimuli is evidence of life. Same way there are certain responses that need to be present to enable us to know that we are alive in the new covenant. That we are not dead or sleeping to it. When life is not present, there will be no response to spiritual stimulus. Scripture says in Romans 8, verses 1 to 2, says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? Are in Christ Jesus. Who? Oh yeah, let's finish that scripture now. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. Amen. I thought somebody would be excited. That the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. But some of us still posture. We still allow the law of sin and death continue to, you know, run its course. Separating us from the covenant provisions. Separating us from the life that God originally designed and intended for us. And I wish you could see the Father's heart and how it breaks his heart every time. When we allow the devil to shortchange us. When we allow him, you know, how did Pastor Ayo put it? He said, we are the ones that are the devil sometimes. Yes. Because when you don't know the provisions, like John Bull's great-grandson, you will go and spend money where money is not necessary. You will settle for a suboptimal life when the best has been prepared for you. And you know that when we talk about the best here, I hope you're not comparing it with somebody else's best. God has his best plan for you. He relates with you as an individual. And sometimes, some things you cannot unlock within the covenant until you grow up. So let me tell somebody, grow up. In this season, we need to grow up, guys. In this season, you and I, we need to grow up. Enough of plain church. Enough of just ticking a box of religion. Somebody needs to be hungry for God. You need to be thirsty for his presence. Enough of playing it cool. Jesus, that scripture, if you've known me long enough, you know that one of the scriptures that gives me a headache is the scripture where Jesus will say the children of the world are wiser than the children of light. How? It could make sense now. It doesn't. But because we know that Jesus always makes sense, so we know that he knows what he's talking about. But it is that the children of light are not walking in covenant. Their light is becoming darkness. They are blending in. They have refused to take position. They have refused to awaken to their covenant responsibilities because their responsibilities in covenant living. In the new covenant, there are do's and there are don'ts. And the people that would thrive in this covenant lifestyle are those who are ready to abide by its provisions. There is a way a spirit that is made alive responds to God. And so the first response is the response of love. The response of love. Paul will say, one of the prayers that he would pray in Ephesians 3, that the church will be rooted and established in the love of God. And I need for us to understand that the love of God is not the love that we play around with in our world. Scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. No greater love hath any man ever displayed than to lay down his life for his friend. God gave himself in a time and in a season where the only thing to do was the shedding of blood. And it had to be correct blood, not the blood of bulls and goats. Because that could only take them in the old covenant so far. But Jesus, as the mediator of the new covenant, was offered up as a sacrifice to bridge the gap that existed between God and man. Please let me tell someone, let the blood of Christ over you not be in vain. Let it not be in vain. You are more than you see. Go ahead, tell them, you are more than you see. You are more than you know. God loves man and draws man into covenant with him. If you look at scripture in Luke 15, the prodigal son, classic story of a misappropriation, misunderstanding of identity. After he goes and does his father dirty, because in that day and time, when you ask your father for inheritance before he dies, you are wishing him to die. But he goes ahead and he would ask and goes and spends it on wild living, riotous living. Then comes back. One day he wakes up and realizes that if I go to my father's house, perhaps I can still get a role as his servant. And he goes with that mindset. What does scripture say? His father sees him from a distance, would ask his servants to prepare a robe for him. Go and kill a fattened calf for this guy that went away with half of my inheritance. If it was you and I, we would first keep malice for a few. He needs to stew, he needs to suffer. We need to make sure he suffers. Go and put him with the servants. Let him learn humility. But the father doesn't do that. And that is a word for someone here today. Whatever it is that has taken you far, wherever it is you have strayed, however it is you have missed God, his arms are open wide, ready to receive you, ready to welcome you back to himself. He sees this guy from a distance and goes after him, locks him in a warm embrace, brings him home, says, my son has returned. The son was still saying, father, no, just let me be one of your servants. I'm sorry if I messed up. Says, no, my son has returned. Whatever it is that you have done, that you are doing, you are still God's child. And he loves you dearly and deeply. And he wants you back home. He wants you to come into this covenant living, this covenant relationship with him. I saw a post that someone put up on their, a posture online. And it did my heart one kind. You know, sometimes you see stuff that just makes you pause and reflect and you need to do a quick self-check. It was, a cartoon thing of Jesus at a restaurant, at a table, and waiting for someone, obviously. The waiter comes and meets Jesus and would ask, can we serve you? And Jesus says, no, I'm waiting for someone. He'll be here. This was breakfast appointment. The guy had no show. Waiter comes back. I'm still expecting him. Perhaps he will show up for lunch. Nope, my brother didn't show up. Or my sister didn't show up for our appointment. By dinner time, the waiter comes back. Says, I would like to believe that he will show up after work. Eventually, bros showed up, sits at the table. And Jesus says, oh, about time. Cuts Jesus off in mid-sentence. And starts to say, oh, hi, Jesus. So you see, there's this project that I'm handling. I need you to please fix it. There's something else that, you know, starts to ramble on, like 2, 3, 4 requests. And by the time he's done, he says, oh, I need to get up early for work tomorrow. Does that sound familiar? Hello, people of God. Does that sound familiar? I need to get up early for work tomorrow. So Jesus, peace out. I'll catch you later. And this guy goes. Jesus sighs. The waiter comes and meets him. Same time tomorrow? Jesus says, surely, I'll be here. And that part just got me, like, he's always there, guys. The Father is always there, waiting on you. But when you and I don't show up, when we don't keep our appointments, when we don't commit to these provisions, when we don't embrace this covenant life, I mean, who's at a loss? The things that you are worrying about, he can do it. It is part of the provision. He can do it. The things that you want, the relationship, the marriage, the children, the money, the new job, the promotion, he can do it. It is the least. Do you know who he is? He's the least of his worries. But when he sits at a table and invites you to sit with him, we are talking intimacy. We are talking love. We are talking, Jesus, what's on your heart today? Father, what do you want me to do for you? We're talking, is there anything I can help with? Where are you working in my generation in this season? Where are you working in my family, in my community, in my nation in this season? How can I serve? We're talking, Jesus, I'm struggling with this thing, this addiction. I want to live for you. We're talking, Holy Spirit, I read this scripture. It didn't make sense. Break it down to me. But we're so consumed with the busyness of our world. We're so distracted. I remember sharing with my prayer partner last night. And I was saying to her, I had the privilege of, a few of the leaders went to Unilag. And we spent time with the Life Pointers at Unilag on Friday. And so we had an opportunity to go. And I just said to them, guys, let's go. And they said the Unilag Joint Christian Fellowship were doing like their ordination, handover thing. The new executives were coming in. So I said, let's go and observe. And we went in there. And the excitement, the energy. You know, I missed just being in that space because I went to Unilag. So I know what it is when students gather and you're just on fire for God. No cares, no worries. Faith in action. You won't have money, but you know you will eat because your Father will provide for you. Crazy faith. The things that we believed God for then in those days. Wild. Wild. You would see somebody who is ill. You are looking for people that are sick that you want to lay your hands on. Because you know and you believe the word of God that says that I will lay my hands on the sick and they will recover. And I was just in that room. And my heart said a quick prayer for the final year, guys. I said, God, keep these ones. Preserve them. Because as they go out into the world and they become busy, busyness is a tool of the enemy, guys. Busyness is a tool of the enemy. Let me borrow you a prayer that I have had to pray in different seasons of my life. Holy Spirit, reorder my life. Let me not focus on the things that do not have eternal value or relevance. Sometimes we pack on too much. Sometimes we put our hands in the things that God has not sent us in the name of forming busy. And the things that matter, the things that have eternal consequence, the things that impact generations to come. There's no time for it. May God help us in Jesus' name. So we're saying we need to get back into that place of love and intimacy where we are deeply rooted and established and grounded in God's love. And the second response as I wrap up is the need to grow and express our faith in God. Growing and expressing our faith in God. Faith triggers. So it's two things. The two responses, love and faith. Love and faith. Faith triggers the benefits of the covenant. That I know in whom I have believed. That I know that the things that are happening in and around me is not the truth. That the doctor's report I have been given is a fact. Yes, it is happening. I don't deny its existence. But when I look at the situation, I look at it from the place of faith. I look at it based on the word that I have received concerning the matter. How do I receive the word if I don't get into the legal document? If I don't get in there to see the provisions that have been made for me, to see what my Father says concerning me? He who comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Please bow your heads in prayer. Bow your heads in prayer. There are three reasons that why we should have faith in God and the new covenant. One is what he says about himself. The I am that I am. I am the one who heals you. I'm the one who never grows weary nor faint. I don't sleep nor slumber. I am the resurrection and the life. Go and find all the things that God says about himself and begin to declare them. We believe in what he says about himself. We believe in what he has done before. I know we're supposed to be praying. As the Holy Spirit just brings the prayers to your heart, go ahead and begin to declare them. What God has done before, we see from scripture. But another thing is the need to note things down, to journal. Some of us, we forget what God has done for us. When you forget, you are unable to draw victory in the face of the next challenge. But when you remember, 3 years ago, God healed me. I had this nasty thing going on in my body, but God delivered me from it. 3 years ago, 5 years ago, when I needed a job, God divinely provided one. When I had been delayed in promotion, God did it. Who are you, mountain, before me? I have a Father that has done, he's never failed before. We draw strength from our testimonies. We draw strength from our victory stories. Another thing, why we must believe in God, have faith in him and in this covenant, is what others have said concerning him. And scriptures are replete with what people have said, how they have described God and ascribed power and greatness to him. What others have said concerning him. Would you go ahead and just ask God, help me to increase in my love for you. Help me to increase in my faith in you, in the name of Jesus. Even if you are at the peak, you are already at, you know, let me use this, the way Ezekiel describes it. In your love walk and in your faith walk with God, perhaps you are at ankle level. You can be at knee level. So tonight you're saying, or this morning you're asking, Father, increase my love for you. Increase my faith in you. I want to move from the level that I currently am. I want to move from the level where doubt and unbelief very easily creeps into my life. Very easily. My mind is quick to process how it will not happen. Why it will not happen. And it takes me a while to boot and remember that you have freely given me all things. Lord, I'm coming into a love walk with you. My love for you is becoming deeper. Would you pray this morning and ask God, grant me a hunger and a thirst for your presence. I want to be a man and a woman given to prayer. I want to be a person given to the study of your word. In the name of Jesus, as I sit with your word, the Holy Spirit breaks it open for me, expounds the scripture to me. In the name of Jesus, increase my faith in you. Go ahead and ask. Father, whatever is causing your love, my love for you to wax cold, or causing my faith in you to waver, today, let there be a separation. In the name of Jesus, whatever is causing our faith in you to waver, whatever is bringing the seeds of doubt and unbelief, causing us to question your integrity, the integrity of your word, whatever situation, we have received gifts already, but whatever it is, and for some people, whoever it is, friends that are causing you to question the efficacy of God's word, the potency of his word, the realness of him. Lord, we ask for a separation. Grant us grace, Lord, to keep our eyes ever fixed on you. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed and agreed. Amen and amen. God bless you.
We hope that the message has blessed your heart. To download more free messages, please visit www.soundcloud.com www.lifepoint.org. For more information about us and all our other resources, please visit www.lifepointng.org.